Barry?
We're going to talk a little bit about Sarasota Baywatch. This is a nonprofit environmental organization that's only 3 years old here in Sarasota. A little bit about the background and their activities. Our studio guests are John Ryan and Pierre Shute, both board members of Sarasota Baywatch. John, Pierre, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys.
Morning, Larry. Thanks for having us.
Well, John, let's start off with you. Give us a little bit of background about Sarasota Baywatch. It's been around 3 years. Tell us a little bit of its history.
Sure, Larry. We started out 3 years ago as sort of an outgrowth of a group called Solutions to Avoid Red Tide, which is a group that's trying to help the community and the scientific community to move forward with living with red tide, which is a natural thing, really unpleasant natural thing that happens here. And so we branched out to model ourselves on Tampa Bay Watch, which is a really successful, very cool organization up in the St. Pete area, who use everyday people like you and me who go out and try to improve the environment by restoring habitats and shorelines. And essentially, we're looking to, and like Tampa Bay Watch, restore things back to where they were years ago. And when you talk to old-timers from Sarasota, they say, oh, you cannot believe how many fish were here. You can't believe how much abundance there was in our natural system. It's a beautiful place. It's still, we love it here. But when you get into the understanding of what those people are saying, there's room for a lot of improvement, we think.
And both of you, were you part of the Red Tide group then before? Pierre, how did you get involved in this?
I was not part of the Red Tide. I moved down to Sarasota about 2 years ago, and I basically fell into the organization because I was a member of the Snook Foundation, which is another great, great organization. They were more on the East Coast, though, but we had a combined event with Sarasota Baywatch, and I got to know John and the other board members, and it's just flowed from there, and I joined the organization.
John, how about you? What's your background? How'd you get to connect with this group?
Well, I work for Sarasota County in the Water Resources Program, so I'm plugged into kind of regionally a lot of the scientific stuff that goes on through estuary programs and water management district and stuff like that. So,
what's the greatest hazard or risk to the bay, or where are all these fish? Why have they all disappeared?
You know, it's funny, I ask that question a lot, and the scientists have every answer in the book. And I think the take-home lesson for me, not being a marine biologist, it sort of makes life a little easier sometimes, is that it's all the things that they list. It's things like, you may know that where Bird Key is right now used to be a big seagrass meadow, and it was filled in. And when that happened, like our friend Johnny Walker, who's on the board, his dad was a shrimper in Sarasota Bay. After Bird Key was built in like 1950 or 60, he couldn't make a living shrimping here anymore. So that was the end of that. And that happened all along the shoreline. And of course, like up in the Louisiana where the oil spill is, shoreline is a huge deal. That's where productivity in the oceans happens. That's where the energy of the land and the water meet and produce, you know, crabs and shrimp and all the things that sort of build the giant food web of nature.
And our shoreline here is mostly seawall then around Sarasota Bay. Is that the point?
Yeah, we really do have a lot of seawall. And, you know, it's so-so. It's not a big habitat. Some things can live there. But what we'd like
barnacles
to do...
Mostly,
oysters live on seawalls, you know, but it's a no man's land in terms of productivity. It's not a high productive area.
All right, so give us a scorecard. How are our shores, how are our islands here doing?
Some places are really good. Manatee County has done a beautiful job of doing some restoration and maintaining natural shorelines. Like up at the Robinson Preserve, you might have heard of that. It's a
right behind my house. I love it.
I guess you do.
Kayaking
really
right behind
gorgeous.
My house. Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that, too, is that a couple of years ago, I guess, and you saw this, it was, you know, being restored and it looked really kind of landscaped. But in no time at all, it just nature takes over and it starts to look perfectly natural in many places.
And it's interesting that particular, because I live in that area, it's a place where a lot of the community goes to meet and to talk, and you can socialize there. If there's an eagle nesting, they coordinate off, and people can only get as close as they can with binoculars. I mean, they're very sensitive to the environment. And then they built a house there, a little museum. Are you familiar with that museum?
Somewhat. Isn't it a historic home?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's in Bradenton. How about
right
here in closer in Sarasota?
Sarasota is a lot less. It's one of the most hardened shorelines area around the West Coast. Now, you get over on the East Coast and Palm Beach and that, and they've really gone all the way, you know, much more urban. And there are some places that we look at and think, why can't this be better? And one of the good ones, I think, that is a good example is when you get down to Venice. The island of Venice was created around 1960 when the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dug a canal. And so when you're a boater and you go from Venice to Englewood, you go through this rocky canal for about 5 miles. And in there, in 50 years or 60 years that it's been there, 5 mangroves have sprouted up in all that time. And, you know, it's a shoreline that is really just a highway, but it's a pretty big area. And we look at that and say, couldn't that be better? You know, when we look at the various home sites and think, isn't there a way that we could reach out to people and say, what can we do to make this richer and more abundant?
So tell us a little bit about your priorities. What is Baywatch? A little bit about the organization, your membership, your priorities, you know, kind of the motivating force.
Sure. We're really part of our sort of fundamental thing is to be positive. We're not going to be doing protests. I appreciate what you guys are doing with that, and I believe in what you're doing. But our thing was to try to collaborate with everybody and try to find common ground with people, you know, business, fishermen, all these different entities that are interested and really love this place, and try to find positive things to do and just not disagree with people who are on the other side and pushing for certain things, but just to choose that angle of attack. So we've tried to, some of the things we really want to say today, one is that we've tried to run this as a board that runs the organization. So we have this board of really interesting people. We've got some PhD marine biologists who are just fantastic, and a lot of people who wrote the book on a lot of the nature studies in this area are on our board. But that is not a function that works well from a board. So one of the things we're trying to do is hire an executive director who it becomes their job to run the organization on a day-to-day basis. Like, I assume this radio station has that kind of process.
We have a board.
Yeah, right. We're going to continue to have a board, but they won't try to go out and do an island cleanup strictly on their own. We're trying to have something bigger. And I feel like I'm monopolizing the conversation here.
Not at all. Go ahead. You're doing a good job.
So we have some grant money that we got from the Community Foundation to hire an executive director. And one of the things I'd like to say to the public is, if you think you're that self-motivated person who cares about the environment right here in this area, you know, we'd like to hear from you.
What does the job entail? What are you looking for an executive director to do? And maybe, Pierre, you have some thoughts about that.
Well, basically just to run the day-to-day operations, a big thing for us is funding. We're running on a shoestring right now, and our members are helping us a lot of membership. But we do believe that the business can get more involved. We're actually looking for sponsors. If you think about it, if the Bay wasn't here, there wouldn't be many businesses either. So the executive director, which should probably reach out, do a lot of fundraising, and just keep the day-to-day operations going.
All right. So somebody with a financial background would be helpful, or a combination of financial background with environmental background? You're nodding your head. Why don't you elaborate?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. We have, at the board meetings, we have pretty diverse opinions on this. Some people say, well, let's get a retired guy who's really, you know, torn it up. And other people are saying, well, why don't we get somebody who just got out of grad school, you know, and one thing we talked about that we don't want, and a lot of us are scientists, is we don't want a pie-in-the-sky kind of person. We want somebody who goes out and meets people and comes and visits with guys like you and other people in the community, but does have a background and isn't going to just make some scientific blunder in public.
And we are talking with John Ryan and Pierre Shute, both board members of Baywatch, Sarasota Environmental Group, Steve.
And be sure, don't touch that dial, because right after this we have Kelly Kirshner, our mayor, going to talk to us about immigration issues, and we have Kendra Muntz coming up as well. Well, we talked before about the Sarasota Baywatch taking on one of the islands. I believe you call it Skiers Island and an island cleanup. Is that an ongoing project?
No, it's just a new thing, and we need to go talk to the county, I think, owns it, and so we're going to talk to them. And cleanups are a really good thing. You know, you may hear about the plastic that's out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to keep their own backyard free of things like that. The plastic, actually, you know, it's a great thing in our day-to-day lives. It's all around us, but it's really bad for wildlife, including birds and sea life. And there are, vast amounts of, like in the Pacific, it's a really well-known phenomenon that there's this big spinning body of water that has just accumulated a giant amount of really small pieces of plastic. In fact, one of our board members sent me something about that and said, yeah, on the beaches in Hawaii, they can sieve it out of the sand just from stuff that's lost out into the ocean all the time.
All right, so why is that a problem?
Things eat it. You know, it's mistaken for food.
Poison, right?
Well, I don't know how inert it is.
It chokes the birds.
Yeah, for birds, it fills their stomach and can't come out. They'll actually find bird corpses with a nut of little pieces of plastic inside because it's filled up their stomach, and it just is like...
What do you think are the major problems here? What are the major issues for Sarasota? If I'm here, ecologically, what should I be most concerned about?
I think restoration is the big thing, looking at trying to improve productivity. There are other things that we have done really well. We've improved our wastewater practices much better than most of Florida and most of the nation. So in that regard, things are good, and that's made our seagrass come back. So seagrass is good. And one of the things we're sort of our flagship organism is scallops. We've done 3 scallop searches.
Right.
And scallops are something that if you talk to somebody who's over 50 or 60 who's from here, will tell you, oh, yeah, we used to go out with my family and we'd collect buckets full of scallops and take them home for the family dinner, and it was just a wonderful experience. Believe it or not, even though scallops are like a clam, they're kind of cute. They have blue eyes and they kind of swim around in the seagrass, and it's really a great experience when you can see a lot of scallops. They're part of the whole food web. They were always abundant here. Until about 50 years ago, when a lot of dredge and fill happened. Plus, there was no restrictions on taking until 1985.
On tanking?
On taking. You could take, you could take all the scallops. Right. There was no season. Really, fish regulations didn't come along till the 80s, for the most part.
The ideal bay for you, if you could kind of have it all today, what would it look like? What would be the balance of boaters and fishermen and... bird life and animal life and the healthy bay? What's a vision for it? And particularly accounting for the things that have taken the sea life and the bird life away from it. Do you have an ideal bay? Optimal bay?
Well, I think the ideal bay is past. I don't think we'll ever get back to what it used to be 50 or 60 years ago. There's just too much development. But we could all coexist. I think fishermen nowadays are much more informed. Catch and release is much more used than in the past. But just basically, we just want to get the wildlife back as much as we can and preserve and protect is what we want to do.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, some part of the vision, I love that question about vision, because you may remember hearing about Florida with the skies darkened by the numbers of birds that were here, stuff like that. And that's really real. There were tremendous amounts of sea life. And so, as Pierre said, how do we go to the future, which cannot be the past, but we have to look at that past. And so part of that is if everybody has docks, and docks are cool, we like boating, can we have a dock that's more environmentally friendly? Can we come up with something that crabs and oysters and things can live in that structure? So it's better. It's a better design. If you're going to have a shoreline and you need to protect your house from flooding and waves, can you come up with something that has a habitat value? Maybe it can't be the perfectly natural shoreline, but it can be 100% better than it was. And part of it is, a big, big part is education. We don't want to take the last fish out of the ocean, which is kind of what happened with the scallops. We think there are no scallops here right now.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a monitoring program that went to zero in the last 7 months.
Can they be restored? Will scallops live in these waters?
We're looking for a donor. For $10,000, we can release millions of scallop larvae into the bay, and we're looking for donations on that right now.
Nice. All right, so I want to turn just a little bit to Sarasota government. You work for the Sarasota government here. And also, I have a friend of mine, Teresa Connor.
Sure.
Who's involved.
Okay. Teresa's my boss.
Yeah.
Great lady.
So I think so, too. So,
sure, really,
so I want you to just comment on Sarasota's role and how responsive they've been. And they're, how do they fit into this picture?
And as you're thinking about that, our listeners are listening to WSLR 96.5, your community radio station here in Sarasota, Florida. And our guests are John Ryan and Pierre Schutt from Sarasota Baywatch. So now you can answer his question.
And stay tuned for the mayor. It's going to come up next.
I can't speak for the county as a government, but as an employee, I can tell you, and I've been working for Sarasota County for 20 years in environmental programs, so I'm pretty plugged into people in the region. And honestly, and not just to schmooze, Sarasota County is a big leader in the state and in the region environmentally. We know and it's a lot of it has to do with the public. You know, we put forward bonds to buy and protect land, like a lot of it's out in the Myakka. It passed by 80%. People in Sarasota are really pro-environment, as long as it makes sense. You know, I'm sure they don't go for everything. But we were the first ones with a fertilizer ordinance in the state of Florida to protect from algae blooms and stuff in the bays and creeks, which degrades them. There are just all kinds of levels where Sarasota County is really out front as a leader. And, you know, there's always room for improvement. I'm not saying we're perfect or anything. We have leadership in wastewater treatment. We're trying to improve the septic system situation, which is, septics are wonderful in a rural setting, kind of ridiculous in an urban setting. But the county's really done a lot. You know, we have a lot of people involved in natural resources type of activities. We have pretty good regulations. You know, we really stand out in many ways.
I guess just from an outsider looking in, and I'm not an environmental scientist by any degree, I mean, it seems like waste management, water runoff, fertilization, I guess some of those issues seem sort of boring on the outside, but there's actually a lot of details that have an impact on my quality of life, yes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. In fact, I'm totally a nerd, so I'm really into little details. One of the things that people don't remember anymore is the recycling program here came about through voter initiative about 20 years ago. And people got together and signed petitions and said, we will recycle, and got it through, and it passed under a vote. And at that time, the government was resistant and said, we don't want to do this. Eventually, they realized this is what the public wants and really embraced it. So we had one of the early, really good recycling programs in Florida.
One of the things is, someone who has always lived on the ocean my whole life, that I think Sarasota is less accessible to is access.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't have, in most other places, the restoration of the coastline has a mind to public access, the ability to go into the water, to swim, to boat. But here, the access is really limited to the amount of money that you have, with the exception of a few public beaches and some parking. So the development of the bay, it seems to me, might include the acquisition of some waterfront for public use. I don't know if Sarasota is as interested in that happening as it might be.
Well, there have been some inroads. I think that sort of goes to the story of Florida, you know, where Florida was just pretty much for sale for much of its history. Whatever could be bought was bought. And Sarasota itself is not a planned community in any sense. Like, you can go to a lot of cities and there was a plan. Venice had a plan. But here, there wasn't. And so there's a lot of room for improvement there. But some waterfront property has been bought. Down around Blackburn Point, the Parks Department, which got some funding from the public initiative, bought a property right there on the water. There are a few spots. I totally agree. It's not what it should be. There's a lot of room for improvement.
Would you embrace that goal as part of Sarasota Baywatch, as having more public access or having it more available? Or is that something that's on your priority list? Or
it really isn't, honestly. I do agree with it, but for our organization, there are people who do that. There's actually, you know, Albert Yorger, who has the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. He bought some property down in Osprey area. We have Sarasota County and Manatee County have native land buying and sort of park buying projects, you know, to get public access. And it's a territory that's pretty well covered.
All right. And let us then say, for those of us, our listeners who want to get more information about Sarasota Baywatch, do you have a website?
Yes, we do. SarasotaBaywatch.org. And you can contact us there, especially if you're interested in donating for the scallop thing. $10,000 gets maybe as many as 20 million scallops in the bay.
All right, contributions. And also, you're looking for leadership. You're looking
Absolutely.
For an executive director. You're not sure whether you want someone really, really young or somebody really, really old. So those in the middle need not apply, probably because you're not paying them enough.
So, well, they're going to have to raise a lot of their pay. That's certainly going to be part of it.
All right. So somebody with kind of a sales orientation.
Very good. And before we leave the Sarasota Baywatch, I just want to bring one more person into this conversation. Good morning, Mayor Callie Kirshner.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I don't know if I'm as sexy as Baywatch.
Okay, so just before we
this is a different Baywatch.
Yeah, thank you.
I know.
Any comments? We're going to go to our borders and bridges. But as the mayor, do you have any comments on what you've heard so far with the Sarasota Baywatch?
No. First off, I've obviously lived in Sarasota my whole life and was fortunate enough to grow up on the Bay in childhood. Not there now in adulthood yet with being able to afford a home on the Bay, but. I think it was John O. Miller that did a study of recreation in Sarasota County probably a decade ago, and it's interesting what he found that was the biggest area of recreation wasn't playing golf or jogging or biking, but it was of people just sitting and appreciating Sarasota Bay, which is was a really interesting revelation. And I think when we contemplate how rich of a community we are and how fortunate we are to have attracted such a demographic that over many decades has invested so much philanthropically into our community and also entrepreneurially in relocating their businesses here, we owe a great debt of gratitude to Sarasota Bay for the fact that we have great actors in the community like the Bay Estuary Program, and I sit on that board, but also now, you know, nonprofit groups that are independent, that are sprouting up, and citizens like Baywatch and the folks on your show and Rusty Chinnis and others, hopefully bodes well that, you know, my children, my grandchildren will appreciate, love, and catch as many fish as I did growing up, if not more, as the decades come.
Very good. Well, listen, Mayor, we really appreciate it. Do you have some questions back for the mayor?
I'd like to ask a question, Mr. Mayor. I've heard that there's a new, that you're on a foundation. Is it the Sarasota Bay Foundation? Is that newsworthy?
You're confusing me with my father that it happens occasionally around town. But that is a new foundation. My father actually was one of the individuals back in the mid-80s when the EPA actually put a consent order on the city of Sarasota that the city still in the early 80s was dumping periodically untreated effluent into Sarasota Bay through Whitaker's Bayou. And as a result, the EPA finally was putting really incredibly strong fines on them every day, and obviously that was probably the worst period maybe in the past few hundred years of the health of the Bay, and it was a wake-up call obviously for our community and with all the growth that was taking place. And so through a long and exhaustive lobbying process, the commission back then, including, you know, when my dad was mayor, I think we're, you know, obviously great visionaries and went up against, you know, much larger demographic areas like Chesapeake Bay and Tampa Bay, but got included in the National Estuary Program that's literally brought millions of dollars of resources to help not only with significant infrastructure projects and improving the quality of the Bay waters, but also dollars that I think have gone a far way at educating our general public on the importance of it as well. So I think the creation of this foundation is just a further evolution of that process. It's probably, I encourage you to invite Carrie onto the show sometime to talk about it. But I think it's also probably a hedge against the types of difficult fiscal situations you see with our federal government, and I just read this morning that part of the House's budget appropriations is a real gutting of the EPA and what it means for Bay Estuary programs. I'm not really sure right now, but if you give Mark Alderson a call, who's the director of the program, he'll probably be able to give you an update on that too.
Terrific, Kelly. And just before you leave that, we just had a news item that we didn't report, Kelly, and that the EPA was going to save trillions of dollars with its regulations. They're thinking about doing away with that. So anyway, moving on.
We're going to change the subject, and we want to thank our guests, John Ryan and Pierre Shute, talking about Baywatch. You're welcome.